the cloud. So thank you very much for your spending some time on this case. The case writer, when we were looking for a case writer, I thought, you know, the right person for a topic like this should be a lawyer. On the other hand, the right person for this could be a poet. What do we choose, a poet or a lawyer? Fortunately, we didn't have to make a choice. We got both. Stephen Honig is the case writer in this program, and he is a partner at the Boston office of the international law firm Duane Morris. Steve's practice focuses on corporate matters, including M&As and corporate governance. He's on the program committee of the New England chapter of the National Association of Corporate Directors. Steve sits on two boards himself. He is a graduate of Harvard Law School. And Steve posts on corporate matters and the role of directors at StephenHonigLawBlog.com. I'll spell that out, StephenHonigLawBlog. On the other hand, Stephen is also a poet. If you go to Amazon.com and type in Stephen, Stephen Honig, you'll see several of his poetry on Amazon that you can buy. And if you are still interested, not this Saturday, but no, Saturday a week from now on June 4th, if you happen to be in Davis Square in Somerville, Stephen is going to be giving a recital at Honig, H-O-N-I-G, on the Buren, B-U-R-E-N. It's a pub in Somerville on Davis Square on June 4th at 6 p.m. So welcome, Steve. So what we'd like to do now is I'd like to go back and ask the different groups what they decided on this case, and then I'll send the focus to Steve, and Steve can comment on your comments. So we start with group number one, consisting of Bab, Cindy, Maggie, Mindy, and Scott. Who is your spokesperson?
I've been volunteered with support from the team.
Good.
Okay, so we had four questions. They were, what are your concerns for the business? The big ones were about the line of credit that's up for grabs. The CEO created a lot of growth for the company, has been very successful for the company. What would happen without him? A big one is we have the potential for two pulled contracts because this National Loyalist Guard is in opposition to the U.S. Department of Defense because they're against the government. And that is probably something that's within the contract that they have with their biggest client, who's the U.S. Department of Defense. And if they might have violated that and lose that business. Mercedes is a foreign entity. They might not want anything political, and they might pull their contract too. The other issues were the big payment. If he leaves, he made a political payment. He made a payment to a political entity, which is probably not allowed under his employment contract. And he didn't get permission from the board, although we don't know if he would have had to get permission from the board. We don't know if there's a succession plan in place or if there's a PR crisis plan in place. Attrition from employees. Unbudgeted material expense of that payment to the political group. He violated his employment agreement. He could be terminated for cause. That might be a good thing, might not be a good thing. We also wondered if the PE fund firm got together with the employees, could they even buy him out? Would there be support from enough of the employees with the CEO that they wouldn't be able to do a buyout if that was a plan of action? So what we wanted to do, our fiduciary duty was to communicate with to put a plan in place for communicating and trying to do something with the CEO and exiting the CEO if he's creating undue risk for the company. And one of the great ideas that other people in the group came up with that we all loved was, obviously, we're now in a board meeting with him. we thought, should we, first we'd ask him to retract his statement, but we're guessing he probably won't. But the great suggestion that came up is, could we ask him to channel his energy into starting a foundation as a, have a separate foundation and using the foundation to push his points of view? If he doesn't agree to that, we thought, and he continues to push this point of view, we thought we'd probably have to exit him. And then there were, everybody else jump in, please help me. The rest of my team.
Okay. No, that's great. Thank you very much, Babs. Appreciate it. The next group is Craig Sanders, Jim, Bill, and Yvonne.
And Joe.
Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I've got the spokesman position. So I won't hit on the points that Babs already hit on, but one of the points that really bothered us, and it didn't come up to the end, was in his letter in the newspaper, he refers to the board as supporting his position. And we felt it was completely wrong for him to represent us as a board, this being our position in the newspaper. We also discussed the fact that we should talk to an IR consultant and determine whether we should have a response or whether we're better off letting it lie. Similarly, we had the discussion about, you know, what do we do? Do we clip his wings or let him continue? And being a privately held company, we felt there probably was not the delegation of authority to him from the board, nor, but being dealing with the fence, there should have been a communications policy in place. If not, then we felt that those both needed to be stronger. As Bab mentioned, we were also very concerned about the brain drain and the impact that that would have on the organization, and how do we combat that. We talked about severance. We talked about the impact of the PE fund authority, and a little bit, we started out with really, what is our role on the board as being independent, and, you know, how independent were we? How big was the board? Those were all questions that came up.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Our third team is Bob, Christine, John, Peter, and Stephen.
So I think this is, you mean John Bohenek, right, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So to summarize our view, we had a great discussion. You know, it kind of took at least one strategy to think of it as a jury coming up with a decision to either he's guilty or not guilty. And I think in summary, our jury was a hung jury because we didn't have everyone did not consent to a path forward. We summarized it into three potential paths forward. Number one was around do nothing. Okay. The second was having enough information either from code of conduct, bylaws, signing authority, communications plans, whatever, that there was enough information to support termination with cause, okay, which would be no severance. And then the third was some modified exit to allow the CEO to resign with a significantly reduced severance package. So I think we generally had strong views from some on the first one. This is he's young. This is a coachable moment. We can bring in some help for him to monitor this. But if we had enough information to prove that he violated certain business guidelines or laws or whatever, then it's a termination with cause and use that strength to negotiate allowing him to resign with a significantly lower amount. So but on one side, if there's nothing he did that violated company guidelines or policies or procedures, I think we generally felt it'd be difficult because you don't have cause and this guy is not going to resign. So if you're really in a situation where, and to prove detriment to the company only happens if these contracts are pulled. At this point, you don't have any negative except a bunch of noise. But if we were stuck with the fact that there's not enough information to justify termination with cause, then we have a huge public relations effort to try to monitor the negatives and try to reposition the messaging of the company. So we didn't come up with a solution. We came up with three solutions, but more information required in order to push forward. And the team, if I misrepresented or you want to emphasize something, by all means.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it. Our next team consists of Barry, Fred, John Fontana, and John Morgan.
So I'm a spokesman for our group. I was actually surprised that we wound up with something somewhat different from the other three groups. We thought it unequivocally that what Lance had done raised an unacceptable risk to the company, that there was a reputational risk, there was a business risk, and there was a human resources risk, and that just across the board, this is a risk that we, as having fiduciary responsibility, were not willing to sit by and tolerate. And that quitting the board because we didn't like it was also not okay, because when the going gets tough, you don't quit, you actually try to deal with it. So our first move would be to talk with the other consequential shareholders, the PE firm and senior executives and so on, and see whether there was a majority of shares that agreed with us that this was really bad news and that that something needed to be done. Try to see just how much support there was. Then if there was somebody, any one of us on the board, who had a confiding relationship, comfortable relationship with the CEO, we want to get together with him and said, look, there's big trouble here. And what we'd love to do is have a smooth solution, which would look like something like you would write a check to reimburse the company for this essentially political contribution, and that you and the company would make a public statement making clear that this is your political stance and it is not an official stance of the company. Now, if the guy was not willing to go with that before firing him, the next thing you do is see whether somebody, whether it be the PE firm, a private investor, an investment bank, whatever, wanted to buy this guy out, either buy the whole company, buy him out in connection with an IPO or a merger, something, but just basically say, here's a bunch of cash, go away. We want to keep this company in business in some form. Failing all else, then, you know, you're down to firing him. And again, going to him first, as, you know, John suggested, and just say, it's come to this, we have to let you go. We can negotiate this thing first, so you'll get some money, nobody has to sue, it'll look really smooth, you'll be pursuing other opportunities, et cetera. Or if necessary, we will go to the mat with you because this is not okay in terms of risk, right? It's not about whether you're right or wrong politically, this is an acceptable risk. We have to protect the company from risk as directors, not okay, so take your pick. Do I accurately represent this, Fred, John? Any of you have more to add?
Good. I think so. I think the only other thing we talked about was the fact that there need to be, if he stayed, controls put in place that would eliminate the problem in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks very much, Barry. And thanks, John Morgan. Our last group, it consists of Mark, Robert, Robin, and Susan.
Thank you, Larry. Excuse me. So I was asked to present, and I'm part of it. First of all, I would say we took a much different approach than I think the last group. We definitely discussed the commercial issues and that it was difficult to make the argument that he wasn't doing a good job, because from the facts in the case that we see, it seems that profitability has increased and that the second largest shareholder, the PE firm, seemed very satisfied with his performance to the point where they were working hard to try and get a credit line for the business. So, you know, we discussed whether we could terminate him for cause. And we concluded that that would be a harder argument. We also discussed whether or not his remarks were coming very close to flirting with inciting violence. And we had a pretty spirited conversation about whether or not that's what he was doing, or he was just stopping one step before actually saying that he was inciting violence. We did discuss that severance for him would be very expensive, and we concluded that based upon the fact we didn't think that we would really have a strong case for cause. We also discussed whether or not we would lose talent, employees within the organization or potential clients, and we were concerned about that. We definitely felt that it was appropriate for the board to have a conversation with him and tell him that we wanted to consider a resolution where that if he wanted to make political contributions from the company prospectively, that a governance or an ethics committee of the board wanted to review those before he moved ahead. And we were fully aware of the fact that, you know, that could take two sort of forks in the road. One is that he would say he was not prepared to have the board review his contributions and he might want to leave. Some of the members of our group were like, goodbye to good riddance. Others were like, well, you know, he's done a good job from a business perspective. And then he might actually say, fine, I'm a very wealthy individual on my own and I will continue to make these donations, but from my personal account. And the fact that the company was so tied with him and his family still might have negative consequences to the company. And then on the fiduciary issue, we did have a pretty extended conversation. And one of the members of our team felt that from a fiduciary perspective, they felt that if he wasn't prepared to tone down some of his rhetoric, they might feel that they need to resign. Someone else was considering it. And I think two of us felt that we would probably stick with it because we felt that as board members, we had an obligation to the company. Please, team, if you think that I've left out some important point, jump in. Okay, excellent. Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much, Robert. So, Steve, I'd like to turn it over to you to comment on the comments.
Okay, so first of all, and no surprise, most of the major issues were dealt with. When you write a case, you purposely put in a lot of facts with some ambiguity in order to foster discussion, because if it's a slam dunk what to do, then it's not exactly a good case to present to a group and foster ideas about what process should go on. Let me run through the issues that I thought I was bubbling up, many of which, but not all of which were touched upon. The nature of the customers. These are customers not easily spooked, particularly since I made this a chip company. And today, you could be Caligula, and if you're selling chips, you're not going to lose very many customers. So that's why I tossed that in there. The senators, the relationship to the senator was picked up at least tangentially in our group. And I put that in there more for fun, because I don't really think that that bears on very much. The nature of the impact on the entity, I did place it in very liberal California. I did place it with a tight job market. I did suggest that there was scuttlebutt within the company, that people were unhappy. I did set up the venture capital fund as a big player. And I did think that any strategy that would be adopted would have to reach out before a final decision was made to talk with a 20% player with a $300 million loan pending. There's the question of right of free speech. Our law, such as it is, gives not only people free speech, but constitutes corporations as having free speech. There's an interaction between the exercise of free speech and the impact on the company, which I think everybody has been sensitive to. This is posited as a closed corporation. It is not quite, I mean, theoretically, it's the same as a public corporation, but it isn't. The dynamics are different. This is a rapidly growing family-founded business. I think that Barry Fogel's report with respect to what I would call a harder tone with respect to the CEO is very typical of what you might find in a publicly held company where there's great awareness that the proxy advisory companies and the whole world is watching, not sure that, although the theories are the same, that a private company necessarily would respond in the same fashion. Public companies tend also to be greatly influenced by the Business Roundtable pronouncement of a couple of years ago, which says that a company no longer is interested necessarily entirely in total shareholder return, but rather doing the right thing to a variety of constituencies within the body politic. I find that private companies tend not to be particularly sensitive to this. That's not a statement of criticism, it's just a statement of fact, because the pressures on private companies are different. The key that most people did focus on is to identify what is the board's fiduciary duty. And of course, control of political statements, which are volatile, control of any outside statements, which are volatile. Take a look at Elon Musk. I did posit a $250 million buyout cost, which puts pressure on the question of whether you are comfortable that this is a reason to fire somebody for cause or not for cause. I purposely didn't put in the operative provisions of termination for cause, which generally would not list outside political statements, but rather would name some other specifics not here present, and then might have a general and negotiated catch-all, which would say something like take any action which is materially detrimental to the company or inconsistent with governance, something like that, which of course posits the tension that the boards here were discussing. Legal issues: is there a suit for waste? Is this for cause? What is the impact on the different identified constituent elements of the company? You've got some very specific statements there about the ownership of the other 45%. I think that the idea to reach out to them is terribly important. There ought to be consideration of how the board wants to posit the likelihood of a negative impact on earnings, because that's going to resonate in terms of the strike price of outstanding options or the profit and loss calculus based on measured by the basis of the purchases of stock by the other major constituents. So I think that most of you guys did most of the things right. There's no bright line answer, at least I didn't write this to pop up a bright line answer. The board, there's an interesting play also in terms of understanding the dynamic of a board in a privately held company as opposed to a publicly held company. The bottom line is important. Sensitivity to other constituencies is viewed differently. You are dealing with a particular kind of company, which is perhaps not typical, but it's not so rare. It is a very successful, tech-oriented, fairly new, family-founded company, and it does not have outside professionally trained management. One of the things that might have been discussed here is whether the board historically did its job by having a succession plan and having not just a plan, but identified mechanisms for outward search and for internal internal capacity if God forbid something happened to Lance Garland, because after all, instead of writing a letter to the newspapers, he could have been hit by a truck. So those were the issues that I was attempting to raise, and congratulations on the what I consider to be the caliber of the discussion.
So what happened?
Well, I can't write a poem about it, but I do have a book of short stories, so I can write that out. I would have both Lance and the general counsel step outside. I'd have the board for cover and for data gathering. I'd have them hire an outside law firm use that as a way to determine what's going on internally, rather than having somebody or the wrong person going around in the company trying to gather that information. Law firm would also take a look at the contracts with the DOD and Mercedes to see whether there's any real risk there of loss of immediate business. You'd have somebody on the HR side take a careful look at the key employees, and in fact, perhaps bring in some crisis management to have a discussion with those folks. There's a lot to do. I mean, this is the beginning of the thing. I think John made the point that you really can't measure how bad things are right away. There's this flurry of stuff. Someone in our group made the point on the facts that I put in that this was in this raised the ire of various constituencies in an area of California, like the Civil Liberties Union and the DEI people, which these folks just never go away. So there's going to be a constant undercurrent that has to be dealt with from a both from an outside PR standpoint and from an internal standpoint with respect to your staff. My apologies to all. I put an awful lot of stuff in here without a clear path forward.
Any comments or questions for Steve? Anybody? Okay. Thank you very much for that case, Steve. Obviously, stimulated a lot of very interesting discussion. Yeah. Our format is usually case oriented, but we're going to deviate from that format next month, and I want to explain a little bit why. Imagine it's 2022. From a talent management standpoint, imagine the worst possible company in the worst possible situation in the pandemic. To my mind, it would be an independent living community that is, by definition, it's highly regulated. By definition, they pay people minimum wage. By definition, if you're in the middle of COVID, and if any of the elderly residents get COVID, it could be potentially fatal. How do you attract, how do you retain, how do you motivate people in the middle of a COVID situation under those conditions? That's the situation that Tom Grape, CEO of Benchmark Assisted Living, found himself. And not only did he manage to navigate those issues, but the Boston Globe named Benchmark Assisted Living one of the most desirable places to be an employee. And we're going to talk with Tom about how'd you do that? Because if you're in an assisted living facility, your freedom of action in terms of regulations is highly circumscribed. So we'll be having a roundtable discussion with Tom Grape about 2022. How do you attract, how do you retain low-wage people under these very difficult situations of COVID? So I hope you can join us. That'll be on June 30th. In the meantime, if there are no further questions, we will terminate this meeting with the thanks to Steve Koenig for the program. And I hope you can join Steve on Saturday in the week or poetry in Somerville. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye now.
Have a wonderful long weekend, everyone.
Yes, you too.
You too.
Thank you.